We've been getting here.
And on Into Salt, off Salt, we finished that, so that was done.
Which one?
Into Salt. 0.706, we have a compromise.
What was that?
3361, we know we're gonna be there.
From that.
3489, we're not gonna move today, we're just gonna talk about it. So, we can, we're fairly quick. Judy, are we ready?
What's coming?
Okay, good.
Yeah, just email it to me.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the closing day of the Senate Judiciary Committee for 1999. I'd like to announce, though, that we will be meeting again next week. Probably on Wednesday or Thursday, so we'll probably sit up here. Those are bad. Can't make it. What day would you prefer, Senator Duggan?
I guess they would come around.
Probably we'll do it in the morning, depending on what the Senate schedule is.
7:30?
No, we're now moving up to 8. Today, though, we're going to begin. I don't quite have a quorum yet, but we'll shortly. But let's start by talking about HB 3489, and I would invite Representative Morgan and Bruce White to come forward, please, and we'll be joined shortly by Representative Lundquist. I have received your facts, and I know that Susan has a copy, and Representative Lundquist, I haven't given one to the rest of my committee yet, but if you recall from the earlier public hearing, amendments were described to us that were acceptable to the governor that only dealt with Eastern Oregon. Unfortunately, that doesn't help Southern Oregon, and in particular Douglas County. So we're searching for some option that would allow that county some assistance, too. So why don't we begin by having Mr. White explain what he's proposed in these amendments, and then, Susan, can you turn to you for other comments or suggestions? We won't move this bill today. I'll bring it back next week.
Members of the committee, my name is Bruce White. I'm the Deputy County Counsel from Chief County. You heard from George Reed, I believe, earlier this week. He couldn't be here today, so he asked me to come in instead. We really do need a fix for a problem that we have, as George Reed indicated. And obviously we want to do so in a way that benefits not just Deschutes County, but Douglas County, too. What I did was to try to reach toward maybe what was a middle ground by proposing some amendments that, and I don't know whether Douglas County has seen them or is aware of them, but there's been a couple of issues. One has been they have a different kind of non-farm land division than we in Deschutes County have. Typically, there's involved lands that have some kind of remainder parcel that has farm qualities about it, and they're in need of a fix that allows for a division that allows for a remainder parcel. Question is, what can happen with that remainder parcel, and I propose some language that would require a development restriction be put on, a binding development restriction be put on that remainder parcel. Secondly, there's been an issue as to how many parcels could be created, and I proposed some language that may be acceptable to Douglas County that would basically say that you can't have any more parcels created for non-farm dwellings than you would lose through another portion of the bill that basically takes away the county's right to split above minimum lot size parcels for potential non-farm dwellings. So those are the two concepts that I advanced to try to help things along here. And I'm open for any questions if anybody wishes to ask any.
Is pretty complicated stuff, and
yes,
I shared with Representative Morgan a copy of the memo and the facts you sent me, and so have you had a chance to take a look at it, run it by your people in Douglas County, and does it offer any help?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to comment on this. We did take the lengthy floor debate that we just had on the House side on electricity dereg, and took the opportunity to go through this.
We had lunch up in your lounge, and we all were listening to that. And
well, I sure hope you enjoyed the lunch. First of all, I'd like to thank Bruce for taking a stab at this. I think that all of us have been walking down a kind of a long, twisted road here trying to find an answer to this that works for the east side, works for the west side, and that the governor will buy onto. And we've been working on this for quite some time and quite intensively. I think that there are some interesting offerings here in the bill. And what I haven't had the opportunity to do, because I just got a hold of this at about 10 o'clock this morning, was that no one has seen it down on the west side yet in any of the planning departments. And it's a document, I think, that we need to run by them. We one thing to catch you up is that we did have a meeting yesterday with Representative Lundquist, with Dick Benner from the department, with a representative from the governor's office, and had a kind of an unstructured discussion on the possibility of a deed restriction. And they were not real open to having that included as part of the solution. But I think that it would be interesting to fiddle with the numbers to see at what point we come to parcel neutrality, if that is such a term, that if there are some things that we can do to do that, and if that would make a difference. I think what we need here is more time to keep fiddling with this to see if we can't come out with something. There was a set of amendments, the A09 amendments.
I don't think we...
Those haven't been introduced?
No.
Okay, I won't comment on them then. I believe that they are just in work draft stage, okay, and that they are still doing a little bit of fine-tuning to them to get them printed, so it'll probably be better to wait. We are also, I'm also in discussions with the planning department at Douglas County to see if there's any way that we can attempt to quantify the number of parcels we're talking about that actually don't at this point have any dwellings on them at all, and see how that figures into the equation. As Bruce said, the sticking point on the west side is when we're talking about parcels that are below the minimum parcel size, so west side, that would be less than an 80-acre parcel. When you under what we're proposing, we would like to have the ability to be able to break a non-farm parcel off, and the size of the non-farm parcel on the west side would be as small as practical to have the non-farm dwelling be able to be sited. The leftover piece, as Bruce said, is where we're stuck with the governor. The governor is not comfortable with having a piece that would be zoned as ag land because of the soil type classifications, most likely, and have that dwelling not be eligible, have that parcel not be eligible for an on-farm dwelling. And that's where we got I believe the idea came from you to propose putting a deed restriction on, saying that the parcel was not eligible for an on-farm dwelling. And the governor was still uncomfortable that we were creating a parcel that, because the probability of making the bar in terms of a farm dwelling, which would be, we would be talking in that area of $40,000 income level, and then there are several other tests that are rather prohibitive, the probability of someone that was considering buying that parcel to be able to get a farm dwelling is really, it's not. So the concern of the governor is that by passing this legislation in its current form, we'd be creating a certain number of parcels that wouldn't be eligible for non-farm parcels, non-farm dwellings because of the deed restriction, wouldn't be eligible for farm dwellings because the bar is impossibly high. So that, in a nutshell, is what it's
said. And with concern also that somehow the deed restriction wouldn't be permanent enough restriction that there's...
No, I think that, as Bruce noted in his letter, there is a precedent on forest land dwellings for deed restrictions to be in place, and the discussion didn't, there didn't seem to be a problem with them about the effectiveness of the deed restriction in terms of having that ride with the parcel and be a reasonable way to notify potential buyers.
Okay. Hmm. All right, we're now been joined by Representative Lundquist. And Lynn, what I mentioned in my preliminary remarks is, although the committee shuts today, I'll be open again next week, and that would give some additional time to digest what's been proposed by Bruce, and hopefully another meeting with the governor and LCD's representative to see if something can grab.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Apologize for being, actually I was here and you were somewhere next door to talk to the college students and didn't get to. I think it's very appropriate that we try to continue to work through this and see if we can have a Western Oregon as well. And so I'm very pleased to work with Eugene Morgan to do that. I will update you on the east side that we had a conversation yesterday with the governor's office and with the department. And we had one area that we were primarily still working on, and that was an area of some productivity restrictions in regard to land that would qualify. We had the soil classifications of 6, 7, and 8, but the department was not comfortable about having some additional productivity associated with it. And they were talking about animal units a month. That's one animal or one cow and calf per month. And we're going to move away from that and go to a productivity level of so much forage per acre, which I think would be much more workable. And the reason that will be, however, only on the class 6 soil. Now, these will come back and say 7-8 is an outright, and that's good. And then on class 6 soils, we'll have a productivity level, and the advantage of that is, because if you have a 6 soil in, I'm going to use my hometown of Powell Butte, so we have 7 or 9 inches of rainfall, the productivity of that is certainly less than a plastic soil where you have 15 inches of rainfall. So I think that gives some latitude in that situation, I believe, because so I'll continue to get this stuff in work. Appreciate your doing this.
I'd like to find a solution, too.
Yes.
But I do believe we need one. So it's going to be tough to go home if we don't. Earlier, the county appealed the decision. Steve Scott,
that's correct.
And how would this legislation affect that?
I don't think it would. Well, it might indirectly, depending upon how things come out. The LUBA argument is set for the 29th of July. Assuming if we didn't prevail then, well, one way or the other, this would go to the Court of Appeals. I suspect that if legislation were passed and that it would probably make the Supreme Court not likely to want to look at the case, since it would involve only maybe the two parcels that were before it.
And that would allow Mr. Scott, if he wanted to, just go ahead and refile into the law.
Correct. Either that or major retroactive.
Right.
The reason I ask for these is our firm is involved in the field.
Scott's fine in the office. Officer of potential conflict of interest. I don't think I have one because the class exception has all the majority, but I need to ask the question.
Other comments? Well, we'll continue to work with this and see what we can do then.
We'll close the work session on HB 3489, and I'm getting updates on the Democrats. They're caucusing with the governor on the budget right now. So the initial report was at 130, and we've now moved up to 155. But what we'll do
is continue to take testimony so that when they are here, we're ready to roll and still meet the goal of being gone by two.
Well, what happened to our other member?
Mr. Nelson. Has anyone know where Mr. Nelson is?
He's with the governor.
Pardon? Okay.
He's evidently with the governor.
He's in the governor's office. He's negotiating on 622. But I was hoping he would be done. Would you do that? Thank you, Jerry. Well, now I'll go to House Bill 2706, and we have some conceptual amendments.
That was the notice.
Right. I'll bring that next week.
Mr. Martinez, stuff.
He has. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the bill from Mark Simmons on the log lien, and we have agreement in. So we'll bring that one back.
And I'll pass up the conceptual amendments, Mr. Chair. We just wanted to make sure that we had the limitations on the lien drafted correctly before we had to adopt it.
Okay. So we'll pass this out and move on. Turning to a moment for 3361, and then the question there was the dash A6 or the dash A7.
And everyone,
Senator Duncan,
I'll move the
you can, but you, when you get the chance, you're going to move the dash A7. So that's what we'll do there.
I think everybody.
Okay.
For different reasons, but
one time. Well, the rest of our agenda.
You mean on 21?
21, we were going to move.
I know, but who remember who you?
Ted is here. It was Senator Metzger was going to. Ted Rollinger was here a moment ago.
You know, I'll give you a high bill. Maybe a little.
Why don't you give me the 21? You have the amendment.
All right. We'll have the discussion. Ted, you're probably listening. If you could come in, because there were some questions we were going to ask about this.
The Attorney General asked
this. Yes, this is from the Attorney General. I'm the Portland City Club. We did a study on this 3 years ago. Their recommendation, the language. Ted, welcome.
Thanks.
Oh, we're going to talk about it. You know what? It is Friday afternoon. I'm not confident they're going to be here at 1:55. Would the committee be upset with me if we just adjourned and came back?
Oh, my word. That would really...
You know, I find this a bit off.
It is the 4th of July.
I'll give you a courtesy vote.
For everyone in the audience, be disappointed if I just close the hearing and come back next week. I didn't think so. All right. We're adjourned.
Thanks. Thank you.